First Peter chapter 1. Let's read verse 17. Try to be quick here tonight. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. King R. Stop. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All right. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Please bless your word now. I prayed that it would have free course. Help me, Lord, to say what I got to say. And I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, say amen to it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you call on the Father. If you call on the Father. Who are you going to call on if you don't call on the Father? Jesus said, they said to him, teach us to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, pray after this manner. What's the first thing you say? Our Father. Now, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer. That's just an outline to show you how you ought to pray. First thing you ought to do is call on the Father. Right? Yes. Yeah, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. No, we pray to the Father. Now, Jesus told us to do that. He prayed to the Father. When he started praying, that's what he said. Father, if you call on the Father. Well, that little phrase is more about identification, in my opinion, than it is about action. I call on the Father. It refers to much more than just those people who pray to God. You know, just about everybody prays to God. It's nothing unusual for people to pray to God. But for most people, sad to say, they might as well pray to a tree or something because they're not really, you know, they don't know who they're just throwing it to the sky. And it don't go any farther than the ceiling most of the time. But just about everybody prays to God in some form or another at some time in their life. People pray. Even atheists pray when they're dying. I read one the other. I read some the other day. I think Mark Wallace may have sent, put it on in his deal there, and it was the last words of Thomas Paine. Oh my goodness, terrible. But how many of them calling on God, in the last minutes of their life? Too late. You know, but the great majority of people only call on the name of the Father when they're in trouble or they want help in getting what they want. I think you kind of talked about that this morning, Seth, a little bit. But that's mainly how it is, isn't it? How do you like it when somebody won't even come and talk to you unless they're wanting something from you?
Yeah.
Somebody told me that yesterday. I had a fella up at the mill. And that's what he said about it. He said one of his sons said he don't ever come around unless he's wanting something. Unless he needs to borrow something. Unless he needs me for some reason or something from me. He ain't got no use for me. Well, that don't set well with us, does it? We don't really cotton to people who do us that way. Well, do you think God does? You think he feels any different than that? When you call on the Father, it's not just asking for something. You know, you call on the Father to just say, thank you. You call on the Father to just say, I love you, Father. Thank you for your blessings on me. Don't you think that's what he likes to hear? Well, of course it is. How you get into his gates?
Thanksgiving.
Yes. And into his courts with praise. That's how you get in. You don't start praying by just saying, God, give me this, and Lord, help me with this. And no. The phrase is referring to those people here whose lifestyle and habit is to call upon the Father. That's what I mean by it's an identification more than it really is about action. It's not really talking about the action. It's talking about you're that person who calls on the Father. What's your first reaction if you find out some tragedy has happened or find out you got some disease or something wrong, some trouble in your life? What's the first thing you do? Get on the phone, call all your friends?
No.
Yeah. Go and try to figure out where you can get the money or where you can get some help for whatever problem you got? Is your first thought to call on God? I think it ought to be. I've always said that. I think when you, if you go to the doctor and find out you got some serious health problem, I think the first thing you ought to do is call on God, the Father, not try to find a better doctor. They're identified by the fact that their lives are ordered under that banner. They call upon the Father. They are those who call upon the Father. Don't mean everybody in church don't call on the Father. You can go to any church. Not everybody there calls on the Father. They just live their life, butting their head against the wall till some problem comes along. Then they'll call on the Father or God or whoever, whatever they put it, but they go to praying. It's what they do in all matters of life. It's not just their problems and desires. It's their habit of life. The way their mind works is to call on the Father. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Help me to understand. Where are you going to get that from if you don't get it from the Father? Yeah, that's where all wisdom and understanding comes from. They seek counsel and guidance and fellowship by calling on the Father. They call on Him often and not just in time of need, but at all times. Do you say good night to the Lord before you go to sleep at night?
Yes,
I do. Do you? Or you just... Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. All right, now here's what we're going to talk about tonight here a little more than what I've already said, but this thing about fearing God. You know, there's something wrong with a message that removes the fear of God from people who believe and trust in Him.
Yes.
I hope you'll listen to me for a few minutes here, because I'm not going to take long, but I'm not going to just hammer, but fearing God is not incompatible with His being our Father.
No.
Or calling on the Father.
Right.
Fearing Him, that, you know, it's so hard to get people into balance anymore. And I think a lot of it has to do with what our culture and this world's culture has done to manhood especially. And distorted it and made it into something that it's not, made it a neutered thing that has no meaning whatsoever except negative. It's pitiful to me to watch men trying to be men and fathers and husbands when they don't know God as He is. He's the pattern for a man. The Father. Yes. Fearing God. The modern philosophy of the world and the worldly people who call themselves Christians has done away with almost all the basic order of God's creation. There's a role for a father and a role for a mother. And it's important beyond words that they fulfill their roles respectively. You know, I know people don't like to hear this, and I was talking about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, but in Romans chapter 1, when we talk about, you know, a woman's place, they don't like to hear that anymore. That's fighting words. A man's place? Well, you can say that, but not a woman. You can't say that about a woman.
Right.
But God said, yes, there is.
Yes.
Each one has their place, has their role, has their duty. One's not superior, or one's not inferior. God made us that way.
Right.
He made us male and female. And He created us in His image. There's, you know, and I had some other stuff and I cut it out to shorten it up here. But it took male and female to create the image of God. The man alone, He said, no, it's not good for the man to be alone. That doesn't get it. I'll make an helpmeet for him. And He did. And when that was done, God looked on it all and He said, it is very good. This is how it is. It works when it's like it's supposed to be. But our world has destroyed everything for the time being. You know, this cancel culture, they're canceling things. Well, they're going to cancel nothing about what God created and how He set it up. They can fuss and rebel and they can propagate their propaganda everywhere, but it's only a temporary thing. God made man male and female. And so there's an aspect of fear with the father, but not so much with the mother. True.
Yes.
When I was a kid, and I imagine most of you had the same kind of deal, if you had a mother and a father, you heard these words, I'm going to tell your father. And when he gets home, you wait till your father gets home. I'm going to tell your dad. No, Mom, please don't do that. You know, Mom could get wild and whoop us, but my mom was little, and it wasn't long till we were big as she was, and we didn't take it as seriously. But now Dad's a different deal. And when she'd sick him on us, then there was a fear. There's an element of fear. Mm-hmm. Now Dad never said, I'm going to tell your mom. And if he had of, that wouldn't have, we'd have laughed. So you see the reality of that. That's just how it is. That's the way God made us. And it'd help us greatly in our walk with God to understand this basic order of God's creation. Now we're talking about fearing God. Call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to be scared to death of God. And no child should be scared to death of their father. If their father's personality and role was fulfilled, patterned after God the Father, everything would be okay. The children could say, Abba, Father. You know, they wouldn't be afraid of him unless they were doing wrong.
Yes.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not afraid of God until I get to thinking about doing something wrong, you know. Same with everybody. I've got nothing to fear from God myself unless I get out of the way. And then God chastens those that he loves. If you're not chastened, you're not his son. God the Father here is described as a judge, the judge, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Now the role of the earthly father is like the role of the heavenly father. Nothing is said here about the mother, but we know that the role of the mother is more like the role of the Holy Spirit. John 16 verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who does the most teaching, the most training? Who has the most opportunity to train the children? Mother. Father or mother?
Mother does.
Mother. By far. She has much more input, much more opportunity. She's got, and especially at the very beginning, the ball is in her park. Father's there, but he's working. He's busy. And men are not equipped to deal with infants either, and little bitty children. I mean, they like to hold them and all of that, but it's when they get a little bigger. It's when they start talking and when they start interacting and they start doing things, Father's role increases there. And he has to be patterned after God, don't you see? His fatherhood has to be patterned after God's father being the father. So, she's the comforter, John 16. She's the one who reproves or convinces the children of right and wrong and warns them of judgment. From where?
The father.
She can discipline little children and all, but there's just another element when she brings in the judge. Now, she's with them a lot more than the father is, and she's their main instructor for the most important years of their lives. She sure is. The father's naturally endowed with a stronger sense of judgment and justice, and here's what I want you to understand about what I'm saying here. Everybody looks to him for justice and fairness. That's right. You got to think about that. He feels the responsibility to make sure that everyone gets a fair shake and is not favored by others unjustly. I mean, that's his role. He's in that place. So, you understand what I'm getting at here. I'm talking a lot about our earthly Father when the Scripture's talking about us calling on the Father, but I'm doing it because the Scripture's talking about us calling on the Father and sojourning our time here in fear. Well, I don't think children ought to be afraid of their father unless they're in trouble. And then there must be that judge there. There must be that authority that's righteous authority, that's just in all of the dealings. You know, I've found that in our home all through the years, you know. Mama would be not unjust, but she's just got her feelings in it too much. Way more than me.
Yeah. Yep.
And those feelings blind you to some things. You know, I don't know how many times that I've had to intervene and say, now, wait a minute now. This is just not right. How many times have you heard me say that? You got to do what's right here. And, you know, you have good kids and you have some kids that's not so good. And you have kids that stay out of trouble quite a bit and you have some kids that just stay in trouble quite a bit. And so when you got a child that just stays in trouble a lot, it's just going to get to where you just smack him first anyway. I mean, he just, we know who did it. And the other kids will take advantage of that too. I mean, here's the troublemaker. He's the one that causes it all the time. So you just default to him. He's the one. Can't do that. You're going to lose a soul doing that. Somebody's got to be looking through an eye of calm emotion. And, well, that is not mama. Not most of the time. No. It's just, you know, generally, he is less influenced by emotions than mother is. And in a family where dad is not the judge, oh, there's a lot of trouble. When there's nowhere to go to, when there's no final authority, when there's nobody that'll just step up and set it right, then you got a mess is what you got. Kids are going to grow up. They're not going to be right. They're not going to understand God the Father properly. They're not going to be able to call on the Father like they should. They're not going to have the right concept of Father. They're going to think they ought to pray to the Spirit of God instead, like some people do. Or pray to something else. I mean, they don't direct their prayer the way Jesus taught us to because they've grew up under a different influence. A good father judges by their works and not by their place in the family. That's what the Scripture says. He'll judges all things by their works. You know, again, I mean, I don't want to make myself the example, but I'm just telling you my experience. I've had to come in lots of times and say, all right, now, I want to know what happened. Who said this? And then everybody starts talking, no. You can't have everybody telling me at once. You tell me. And if you can keep everybody else shut up long enough, you can hear his side, and then you hear the other side, and then you try to piece together just really what happened here. Because before you come in, there's already been a judge and jury and everything's been passed. And I mean, judgment's impending right now. Just waiting on me to give the okay. Well, no, you can't do that.
That's right.
You know, children, fathers provoke not your children to anger. Because it'll ruin them.
Yes, it will.
You know, everybody has got to have a fair shake. Even the troublemaking kid.
Yes. Yes.
The one that won't behave. The disobedient kid. He's got to be treated fairly. Because that's his problem already. Is he thinks he's being mistreated and treated unfairly. And if you just keep hammering him and punishing him for that, he's going to be bitter. He's going to be a rebel. And he'll forsake everything. He'll never call on God the Father. Ain't no point, because this is how it always turns out.
Yeah.
Truth don't matter. What really happened don't matter. It's just that everybody blames me. Mm-hmm. Well, I know the devil will encourage that in a child and everything. But all that's beside the point. The fact remains that God is just. He's a righteous judge. That's what we read in the Scripture here. And we must be like Him in the home. Now, in a family where dad's not the judge, there's a lot of frustration and despair over the injustices done to one another. You know, and I've told my kids, and I tried to teach them all, you know, once in a while, you're going to get punished for something you didn't do. I did. I mean, how many of you that are adults in here ever got punished for something you didn't do? Yes. And I told them, I said, the world is not fair. And so it's going to happen to you when you leave this home and go out there in the world. You're going to get treated unfair. You just need to learn how to deal with it right.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, we lose all credibility and all right to authority with them if we don't do everything we can to be just.
Yes, sir.
And to make sure they get treated fair. Good father judges by their works and not by their place in the family. I hear a lot of this stuff about middle child syndrome.
Yes.
Well, I don't either. Well, he's the oldest, you know, so he gets privileges that others don't. I mean, and I'm not talking about if he's older, then he arrives at certain points before the others, or she. Yes.
Right.
You don't just give all the kids the same thing at the same time. And they just, no, you got to wait for some things. When you get old enough, yeah. But to make them immune from any fault, to believe them just because they're the oldest, or to just, you know, it's like, it's not good for the wicked to take the word of the wicked. I'm not quoting it exactly, but it's not good to respect the word of the wicked in judgment against the righteous. Bad thing to do, Bible says. You don't take the word of a liar against somebody who's had a reputation for being righteous.
Right.
Well, the same way with the children, see?
Yep.
I've known some rotten kids whose mama thought they were angels.
Yeah.
Kids who mama said, they would never lie to me. And they lied like a dog all the time. And everybody else knew it. Mama said, no, not my cat, not my little girl, not my little darling. You see what I'm talking about? Just because they got a certain place in the family, father's failing right there. He ought to be able to see more clearly. He shouldn't be blinded by things, you know.
Right.
Y'all always are making fun of me because Fee's got me around her little finger, you say. But, well, yeah, I love that child, but I, you know, if she acts bad, I recognize that.
Yes.
I don't know. Now, I'll never take her word above everybody else's word just because of who she is. Because she has some special place with me or something. No. If I do that, I'm wrong. No, I don't love her. And I'm not doing right. And I'm marring the image of God.
Yes.
The Father. You know, this is a thing we find in human nature pretty often, that a person tries to justify their wrong because of who they are or some other reason that sets them apart from everybody else, you know. It's always my mother's fault, or it's always some other reason. This victim mindset, that's such a thing, you know. It's just casting blame, finding a reason that I'm what I am, you know. You can't blame me. And all this political correctness that you hear about, it's an example of this perversion of right thinking.
Yes.
I mean, turning everything upside down, calling evil good and good evil.
Yep.
You ought to stay away from it. You ought to avoid it. You ought to be strongly against it and not be caught up in it.
Yes.
Political correctness. What a bunch of nonsense. And that's another one of those terms that's been invented in our days that I hate.
Yes, sir.
I don't even like to say it. And I don't like to hear it either. It's not political correctness. It's insanity. That's what it is. It's lying, perversion of what's right and wrong. That's what it is.
Sure.
The Father in heaven will certainly judge every man according to his works, with no consideration at all for what color he is, or what family he belongs to, or how he's esteemed by other people. God doesn't He's not going to take all that. He's going to judge us according to our works. Saved or lost. You're facing that judgment. We're going to give an account for all the deeds done in this body. We're going to give account for every idle word that we speak. That's how we're going to be judged. Each one of us. Every man will give account of himself to God. All this stuff, when you're facing God, you're not going to be able to say, and you're not even going to think about it. Well, it's my mama. If I'd have had a good mama, or if I'd have had a good daddy, you know, if I'd have got to have this when I was a kid instead of what I had. I had a messed up home. Well, that's no excuse for you being messed up. It's no excuse. There's a God in heaven. There's the book right here of God. There's the truth. There's salvation. You can call on the Father,
right,
who without respect of persons. He doesn't have any respect of persons. He don't care where you came from, what color you are, what country you came from. He cares about what you, how you do, how you live, what you are.
That's right.
Going to judge us according to our works. Mother is usually not a very good judge. Now, I'm sorry, ladies, but I'm telling you, now there's exceptions. I know some women that are good judges, but some, for the generally speaking, here's what I've found, and long as I've lived, Mama is kind of weak in that area. Judging. Nobody says amen. I don't care. I don't have to be amen to preach. I learned that a long time ago. We're in close quarters here, but I always told everybody, I can't see your face anyway, so it don't matter if you frown or stick your tongue out, I don't even see you. But I do hear. I can see you. So be careful. Because she has a hard time judging without respect of persons. Now that's the way it is. There's some men that are that way too. She's generally much more sensitive to feelings and is more reluctant to mete out punishment because of her own sympathy. Because God made her that way. She's more sympathetic, more sensitive, more emotional. Did you ever hear a father say, I just love them too much to spank them? Who says that?
Mama.
Yeah. Because she's held them since they were a tiny baby. And she's sung to them and loved them. And then when they start talking, saying ugly things, and doing ugly things, it's still her baby.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true. Yes, sir, it's true. Her strongest tool for dealing with children is to refer them to the judge, their father. It is. That's my mom's strongest tool.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the final thing. It got to the point where she'd whoop us with a paddle and we'd just put her hand back there and she'd break the paddle on her hand. And she'd swing as hard as she could swing and we'd laugh. Well, because we were big old boys, she was still trying to whoop us. But when she said, all right, you go ahead and laugh, wait till your daddy gets home. That was a reason to not laugh. That's the reason to stand there and take you whooping from Mama, because it's going to be a lot easier than. Yep. In a home that's ordered properly, according to God's will, there'll be fear in those children when they've done wrong and know they're going to face their father with it.
Yes.
Now you just know that's right, don't you? Don't you know that's right? Does that make you hide in fear of your father? Because you take a man who doesn't know God, and, you know, I've found this in preaching things like this, you got to be real careful when you're preaching to a church full of people, because you got people in there, men who don't know God. And they'll take it and they'll just be a monster with it, and they'll be a bully, and that is not what we're talking about here. No. There's no place that you feel safer than in your father's arms, is there?
Yep. Right.
When things are right. We're talking about things being right.
Yes.
We're not talking about these messed up deals where father don't know God and mother don't know God, and the house is all out of order, and everything's upside down. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the proper order when God's in control and we're living according to the pattern God gave us in His creation. So we're to understand from this verse here that those of us who live our lives calling upon the Father for everything, we're to view Him a lot like we do a good and godly earthly father. That's what's so tragic about the time that we live in, when manhood and fatherhood has been mocked and degraded and defamed to the point it is now, to where children grow up. Most children are growing up without even knowing, having any idea what a real father is supposed to be like. Most of them are growing up. Most of them. Think about it. Now, I know what I'm saying. Most of them are growing up without a father at all.
That's right.
None. Yeah. And they're turning out to be violent and gang members and just total reprobates and degenerates because they lacked that important thing in their life.
Yes, sir.
We're to fear Him. Knowing, I'm talking about God the Father. We're to fear Him, knowing that if we do wrong to our neighbors, we'll answer to the judge of the universe for. Now, I don't care how saved you are, you better not ever get away from that fact. You understand? I preach that to you all the time. This old stuff that everybody's done is just making everybody so secure that they can just live in sin and do whatever they want and treat everybody any way they want and everything's going to be all right is a lie. The Bible is full of it here. Now, we'll answer to the judge. So we ought to fear God.
Yes,
even though we're, if we're saved and we're His child, we're still to fear God in this way.
Yes.
I'm going to answer to Him. God's not another man. God is God.
Yes, sir.
Who just spoke the whole universe into existence. We can't even begin to comprehend God in His power. So what's it going to be like to when you stand facing God to give an account for what you've done? To be rewarded for your works. Anybody here feel like you've done anything worth a reward from God? No, I don't. No, I don't either. But we know that He will pronounce righteous judgment. It's one thing you can count on.
That's right.
All the evil that you see in the world and all the wrongs that's ever been done. I mean, if you really trust God and believe in Him and believe this book, then you know that there is coming a day when things are going to be set right. Every evil deed is going to be given account of. I mean, it's going to be settled. Everybody's going to receive what they got coming. Good and bad. We know that He'll pronounce righteous judgment. That's the same as our conscience is telling us about the matter. When we experience injustices at the hands of others in this world, or we see others suffer the same, we can rest in the fact that the Father is going to judge them one day and they'll get what's coming to them. Tried to teach my kids this too because I learned it. That's how you get past bitterness and how you get past seeing injustices in this world, which you're going to see in the church. Churches, I mean, you'll see injustices like we talked about last week in the place. In the place where righteousness should be, there was wickedness. There it was. It's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
And don't despair. Don't say, well, God's forgotten us. God's not looking. God doesn't see. Oh, yes, He does see. And there's coming a time when everything is going to be answered for.
Yep,
nobody's going to get away with anything. It's so much easier. We just grow up in a home where the Father is a judge and the mother's like the Holy Spirit. And life is ordered and carried out in accordance with God's image and God's plan. This is just foundational knowledge and understanding that people used to understand. They used to live by it. It was much better. Who was saying that today about, I think Kim said something about, we were talking about during the Depression and everything back then. And you said something like, you know, things were more like it was supposed to be back then, where Mom was at home.
Yes.
And everything was in order in the home, more so than it is now by far.
Oh, yes.
It's nothing to be, nothing to despise. It's nothing to fight against. It's something to embrace and believe. God's way. It's better.
Amen.
It's better. Amen. It's the way our children can grow up. And if they've had an earthly father who is a godly father, then it's easier for them to call on the Father.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
If we call on the Father. Yeah. Do you ever think about that? If you'd, have you ever thought about it, if you'd never had a father, or if you'd never had a mother? Have you ever just sat and thought about that a little bit? What my life would be like, how I would view the world and other people, and how I would understand things? It would mess you up, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Did you read the thing in the bulletin this morning that John Bunyan wrote about parents and their example to their children and everything? That's very good.
It's the first part. There's another
part
next week.
But he talked about how important it is, and if you just understood how important your example was, and how what all is at stake, not just their life here on earth, but their eternity. And if they end up in hell, it's going to be because, in large part, you directed them there with your example of ungodliness or godliness. Amen. If you call on the Father, are you going to call on the Father? Do you call on the Father?
Yes, sir.
Are you among those who do that? Or do you practice religion? What about all these people that read prayers? You see them every once in a while. Here's a prayer. Here's a good prayer. Read this. You know, just read this prayer and it'll make you feel. That's superstition.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, let's bow. We have a word of prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for your word, for the truth. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for setting things up the way you did, right? Man has sure made a mess of what you created and called good. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I know redemption is, and Christ came and being saved and being made a new creature, born again of the Spirit of God, sets us on the way to making things right and how they ought to be. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in our homes to follow after your order and example and not listen to this world, be influenced by this ungodly world who would just wreck the whole thing if they had their way. Lord, I know we're in a minority in these days by far. There's very few left who really want to live and do things your way. Lord, all these children, they need a father. They need a godly father who's in the place, in the stead of Christ in the home. Lord, help us. I pray that we could be happy in the place in your divine order that you've put us. And Lord, that not be like this upside down world where men want to be women and women want to be men, and then nobody wants to be in the place that you put them, and fathers don't want to be fathers and mothers don't want to be mothers. They want to be the fathers. And Lord, help us keep that poison out of our minds here, of our folks, of these children growing up. I pray they would have a good example before them of a father and a mother, and that they would call upon the name and upon the Father in heaven and be able to and understand it in their hearts and minds. Lord, go with us now, I pray. Bless the word of God to our heart. Help us, Lord, to live for you this week. Give us opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.